So the ELLI Fund serves a really specific purpose. We are trying to reduce delays in the time period between when someone gets diagnosed with breast cancer and when they start treatment.
That's Meredith Mendelson of the ELLI Fund. She's on board to tell us all the ELLI Fund does for breast cancer patients in Massachusetts. That's next on One Big Boat. We're all in this together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of One Big Boat, our podcast here at Last Minute Productions. I'm Gary Gillis. I'm one of the partners here. And our guest today is Meredith Mendelson, who is CEO, president. What's your title at the ELLI Fund?
You just promoted me. I'm executive director, but I hope to be CEO.
So tell me a little bit, or tell our audience a little bit about what the ELLI Fund does.
So the ELLI Fund serves a really specific purpose. We are trying to reduce delays in the time period between when someone gets diagnosed with breast cancer and when they start treatment. And the other important thing we're trying to do is make sure that people can finish treatment, because some people start and they don't have the means or the ability to continue treatment. Most breast cancer is treatable, and about 25% of our patients do have stage 4 breast cancer, which is the only kind of breast cancer you can die from. The rest of it is treatable.
Why is there, normally a delay between the diagnosis and the start of treatment?
I think it depends who you are. I think it depends what zip code you're in. Sometimes your zip code tells more about your health prognosis than your genetic code. And so if there are delays in terms of scheduling appointments, or there are also issues about covering diagnostic, the second mammogram and different diagnostic tests, some people just can't do it and it's too expensive for them to treat their breast cancer. Or, as we've been told many times, breast cancer may not be their biggest problem.
So how is it that the ELLI Fund intervenes and shortens that period of time?
So ideally, in a perfect world, patients would know about us before diagnosis. And so they would have a tool and a partner to help them get to treatment on time, early, with transportation for appointments, food for their families, childcare. These are the things, the social determinants of health, that really can wreak havoc with someone's ability to treat their breast cancer. And so we come in and offer a personalized grant during what we consider to be the most intense part of treatment. Our grants last 3 months, which is not enough time to get through breast cancer treatment, but it's what we have right now. And as I mentioned, if someone does have stage 4 metastatic breast cancer, our grants last a full 6 months.
So how do patients come to know about the opportunity to apply for a grant?
Sure. So we have four different strategies of how we find patients, and we call it equitable pathways to breast cancer care. And so the four pathways are: one's traditional, social workers, resource specialists from your hospital. That is how the ELLI Fund found patients over the past 28 years, which has been an amazing experience for us. But we know that social workers and resource specialists are not assigned to every patient. Not every hospital has that capability built in. Some people make determinations about whether someone needs a social worker or a resource specialist, and it may be accurate, it may not be accurate. And so we decided that we wanted to go more upstream in the hospitals. And so we started reaching out to mammogram technicians, the screening community, radiologists, surgeons, to let them know, you know, this should be, your patients may have transportation issues that could preclude them from treatment, and we'd like to be a partner to help change that. So we really partner with all the providers. That's one pathway. And the others, people can self-refer, which is incredible. That's a new thing for the ELLI Fund. We built it, the capability, in conjunction with the Hologic Corporation. They funded a self-referral platform. So if patients hear about us on TV, or we have wonderful media partners in Channel 5 on podcasts like this, they can go online and self-refer in the privacy of their own home, which is
Meredith,
amazing.
You know, you mentioned that maybe it's transportation, maybe it's meals for the family. What are the kind of, you know, issues that the grants from the Ellie Fund address? I'm sure there, you know, there are things that I wouldn't think about, or that others who, you know, think about getting to a hospital or a treatment center, you know, they don't even consider this as an obstacle.
Yeah, it's tough when you start to break down to think about, especially if you look at it in terms of race in Massachusetts, where Black women are 41% more likely to die of a breast cancer diagnosis than their white counterparts. So that's the most obvious, egregious example. And when you break that down, it could be who has access to which hospitals based on their insurance. It could be that they don't have paid time off work. If they are, you know, kind of eat what you kill, people that only earn what they are able to produce, that can be really hard to feed a family. And so some people just say, well, I'll treat it in 6 months, or I'll wait until my job situation is better. And then on the transportation side, I think, you know, it's no secret in the Commonwealth that we don't have great public transportation. Or if you are being treated for breast cancer, you may be on immune suppressive drugs. It may not be appropriate for you to take 2 trains and a bus to get to your treatment. And we've had many examples of that, where the Ellie Fund has come in with a transportation grant and has paid for rideshare for people to be picked up at home, in some cases wait for a radiation appointment, get them back home. So I think the transportation is huge. But our largest service is food, is groceries.
So tell me a little bit, you say it's a 3-month grant most of the time, and for those with metastatic, it is a full 6 months. So is there a limit to the amount of that grant? Or, you know, when somebody says, I need help paying for food, you just say, okay, let us know what you need and we'll provide it.
I wish we could. When we first started, we did not have limitations to our grants. And then when we studied the problem of breast cancer in the Commonwealth, we learned that there were 7,000 new cases of breast cancer every single year. We fluctuate between the 2nd and 10th highest in the country. So when we looked at our theory of change and what we were trying to accomplish and what we heard from our patients is that it was less about the total amount of the grant and more about the feeling of being supported, understood, loved, hope. And so we made a decision at the board level, really, that we were going to go wide instead of deep. And so we have grown by 41% over the past year. And we're just trying to help as many people as we can. So there is a dollar limit per month. And what we can do is what it frees up people. Let's say they want to pay a housing bill, and we don't necessarily give a grant for housing. We will give a grant for groceries or house cleaning or childcare so that they can free up their dollars for whatever is their most pressing need. And transportation is a real issue. When you think about going to the hospitals, even when the parking could be subsidized for a patient, you're still talking about $12 to $15 a day in most instances. And something like radiation, where you could go 20, 30 times, it really adds up. Nobody saves for breast cancer. And so it's really out of people's budget.
You said, you know, you're 41% increase over last year. Is that in the number of people that you are serving, or is that
the number of
dollars that you have taken?
Both. Both. I mean, we've experienced tremendous growth. I know this month alone, we were up by, I think it was close to 40% of new applicants. And so this year, 2024, we hope to raise $4 million, whereas last year we raised $2.6 million. So it's a big jump, but it's completely driven by the need. We know that, you know, fundraising is a real sport in Massachusetts. It's competitive. It's hard. We compete against organizations that are working on research. Not everybody understands the patient. You know, they'd much rather fun research, which, you know, I think there's room for everything. But so we are attempting to raise $4 million this year, and it will allow us to serve 2,000 new patients and their families. So that's our goal for 2024.
Coming up,
we believe that if you have breast cancer, you need something. It may not be groceries on your table. It may be emotional support.
All that the Ellie Fund offers and plans for the future.
Here's what clients are saying about working with Last Minute Productions.
Last Minute Productions did an absolutely incredible job creating our video, and we could not be more thrilled with the end product.
LMP continues to find creative ways to help us share our message so more people will understand our mission and movement.
I have had the pleasure of working with them at two different organizations. Last Minute Productions is the ultimate partner. They go above and beyond.
Video production, live streaming, and of course, podcasting. Your message to your target audience delivered in the most impactful way. Go to lastminuteproductions.com and see why we say, trust the brand that trusted brands trust.
How did it start out as breast cancer?
So the Ellie Fund was started by two sons, Elliot and Jeff Popkin, who lost their mother, Ellie, Eleanor Popkin. She was a Newton mom, very involved in civic activities, volunteering, reading to kids at the library, the hospital, really started a sense of, you know, giving back to her boys. And she died of metastatic breast cancer. And when she died, they wanted to do something to honor her. And so they started, you know, in a very small way, very different from what we do now. And it grew and grew and grew. And limited resources, it's always been a breast cancer organization. But, you know, we do get calls all the time for different women's cancers. And unfortunately, we try to point them to other resources, but it's not what we do.
Are there other resources? Is there anybody out there that does what you do? For other diseases or in other geographies?
There are similar organizations. I get this question a lot, but what makes us different is that we do not ask for anyone to prove that they need, that they have financial need. And so while there are amazing resources out there all over the country, really, it's usually need-based and you have to prove that you are in financial need. That goes against everything the Ellie Fund stands for, because we believe that if you have breast cancer, you need something. It may not be groceries on your table. It may be emotional support. It may be transportation to get to an appointment. It may be childcare. You may be fully employed and fully insured, but the cost of childcare is really, really high. And if you have to reduce your workload, that tends to be something that people give up. You can't take care of a small child when you're being treated for breast cancer. And we have so many young moms that are going through that or get diagnosed during pregnancy. Big issues that, you know, we try to help with as much as we can. But I think it's more than just the financial piece. The letters that we get from our patients, which, you know, we probably get a dozen a week, are about feeling understood, knowing that someone was there for them, feeling grateful. There is, you know, a scientific effect of gratitude, and it makes people feel better. And so there's something there when we get these letters about, they mention the groceries for sure, and they're grateful, but it's more.
How wide is your service area?
So we have very simple requirements. I mentioned we don't require proof of financial need. The only real requirements are that you're in active treatment and that you are being treated in Massachusetts or you live here. So we do get patients from other states around the country that are coming here for a clinical trial or, you know, come get their care here but live in Rhode Island or Connecticut. I think that's another thing that really says us apart is we have very simple eligibility requirements.
You know, it's a wonderful model And it sounds like, you know, it works very well, and it is certainly helping the women who are getting these grants. Is it something that could be easily replicated in other geographies?
We think so. We think it can be replicated in other parts of the country easily, but we also think it can be replicated in other disease models. And so social determinants of health are not unique to breast cancer. Hypertension, you know, heart disease, there's so many different things that intervention in terms of getting people access to treatment could change the trajectory of their disease. And so we really hope that people are paying attention to our model, and it appears as though they are. We get a lot of questions about how we do it, how community partnerships work with hospitals, how the workflow works. And of course, it's just an issue of dollars raised. I mean, I know we know how to do this. And if we had the means, we could not just replicate, we could, you know, potentially serve people for longer. So instead of 3 months, it could be 6 months. Instead of 6 months, it could be a year. And so I think people are paying attention, and we just need, you know, someone with really who understands the value to fund it.
So is that something that is part of the long-term plan? I mean, if I look at the Ellie Fund 5 years, 10 years from now, are you expanding to other diseases, or are you simply, you know, helping others to sort of replicate your model? Or, you know, is that part of your trajectory?
So our strategic plan right now is about Massachusetts reaching. So if we have a budget for 2,000 patients this year, there's 7,000 new cases every year. We would like to at least say that we're covering half of the patients. Right now, it's about a third. So I think for the next year or so, we're really focused on Massachusetts. We got a big grant from the Commonwealth to help us target people that are diagnosed at community health centers and not just the big hospitals. So we're really focused on that. We're not looking for office space, you know, in other parts of the country. But I do think by us doing presentations and participating in different cancer conferences or health equity conversations, we get a lot of calls from other people. How did you do this? What do you find most useful? So I think there's a role for the Ellie Fund nationally for sure. But in the next few years, we just really want to make sure that we have perfected the pathways so that people don't have to waste precious time when they're identifying resources, because you've got to get in early, you've got to treat it, and you've got to treat it completely.
You had mentioned that, you know, fundraising is a competitive sport in this area. So where are your donors coming from? You mentioned grants. Where does the money come from?
So we're really fortunate that we are very diversified in our funding streams. We do have very large scale events. We have a robust grant program where we apply to private foundations and companies. We also have individual donors who, you know, in some cases are providing a $100,000 gift and in some cases a $100 gift. And I think what makes us unique is that we treat them pretty much the same. We value every dollar. And we also have a lot of students raising money for the Ellie Fund, which is very unique. There's a lot of interest in breast cancer awareness. There's a lot of kids who have seen their moms, their sisters, their aunts, their teachers, and it's men too. It's not just women that we serve. Men get breast cancer. And so we, you know, we really try to inspire the next generation that they can do something about it. If you are raising money for a bag of groceries, you can say this person did not have to work and they could go to treatment because you are feeding their family. So we are very diversified. And then, of course, we got our first state allocation last year, and we're hoping to get more.
So if somebody does want to choose to help out the Ellie Fund and donate, how would you go about doing that?
So it's super easy to donate on our website at www.elliefund.org. There's a donate now button, but there's also ways to get involved. We have we're a very athletic nonprofit. We have Team Ellie. We have 75 numbers for the Falmouth Road Race. We have 5 runners in the marathon this year, and we do a ton with sports. So we have partnerships with many of the colleges, Northeastern Hockey, BU Hockey, and they raise money for the Ellie Fund. And they do, Wellesley High School has done a, you know, Dig Pink. And so there's a lot around sports and activating networks. So many ways to get involved.
And you're happy to take on anybody who's willing to do that.
Yeah. I mean, we love it. We get energy off of it. Our patients feel loved when they see large scale efforts, you know, that people understand what it's really like. And also, you know, some people do have really great networks that can get them through this treatment. And some people have networks that dry up over time. You know, metastatic disease is, it's a long haul, and people can live for a really long time, which is what we want. And so, you know, people move on. And so we tend to be a friend, you know, in the pipeline that you don't have to return the favor. You don't have to explain. And that's a role we really want to serve.
Meredith, thanks for coming in and taking the time.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Thanks for your interest.
We hope you've enjoyed this chat. And if you'd like to support the Ellie Fund, certainly visit their website. And check us out again. One Big Boat. We'll be back with another webcast. Not sure who that guest will be, but it will be interesting. Thanks for joining us.
One Big Boat is a production of Last Minute Productions, Incorporated. This episode was produced by Gary Gillis. Executive producer, Jay Dobek. Scott Wyman was the sound engineer. Jim Johnston and Ethan Gallo provided production support and editing. And Joanne Pallotta was the production coordinator.